bulletin from the Mutual Newsroom in New York. Bern. The Japanese legation in Bern disclosed today that it is momentarily expecting receipt of a communication from Tokyo accepting the Allied ultimatum and requesting Swiss mediation. The legation spokesman added that the communication would be presented immediately after its arrival by the Japanese minister at the Federal Palace. Japanese Minister Shumushishi Kase submitted an important communication to the Swiss political department today, and the department said it was destined for the governments of the United States and China. The Swedish Foreign Office announced it had transmitted the Japanese note to Britain and Soviet Russia, the Stockholm radio said. Switzerland is the neutral intermediary for the United States and China with Japan. This bulletin has come to you from the Mutual Newsroom in New York. We take you now to the program originally scheduled.
Would you like to be queen for a day? Then on with the show from Hollywood, and welcome to Queen for a Day, you listeners, in Detroit, Dayton, Dallas, Dubuque, and all along the Mutual Network. We're broadcasting from the El Capitan Theater, the home of Ken Murray's Blackouts, Hollywood and Vine, the glamour capital of the world. And now here's that miracle man who makes wishes come true, our master of ceremonies, Jack Bailey.
Better than we rehearsed, but thanks very much. You bet your life. Welcome, friends. Glad you 1,200 folks are here in today's audience to pick the lucky lady who will be queen for a day. Welcome to all our listeners along the Mutual Network. Six excited candidates in our grand council, who are also excited, have been selected from the audience. One of those candidates will be voted queen for a day. So you friends out there listening, vote along with us. Remember, it's your party, too. Right now, here's our first candidate. Who is it, Mark?
Candidate number one, Mrs. Ruby Robertson of Nebraska.
Mrs. Ruby? What are you laughing at, Ruby?
Robertson, they said Nebraska. I live in El Cajon, California.
How do you spell that?
E-L-C-A-J-O-N.
How long have you lived in El Cajon?
I lived there. Now, that's not the way.
No, it isn't.
No, El Cajon. You know, all the J's sound like H's in California. I can
tell you. You mean then my name is Jack Bailey, so they should call me Hack Bailey?
That's right.
Let's hear how that sounds.
Wouldn't Hack Bailey. That wouldn't sound good.
No, it wouldn't.
No.
Would it?
No.
Why do they say ha instead of j?
I don't know. I've often wondered. Maybe they have something in their throat.
And nothing in their head. Now then, what does Mr. Robertson do, Mrs. Ruby?
We have a bakery. May I put in a plug for our
you
little bakery?
May. We have a bakery.
Yes.
Good. Where
Earl
is it?
Earl Ruby C. Robertson in El Cajon, California. It's the only bakery there. The best bakery, by the way, because it's the only bakery.
Madam, you are now broadcasting over some 300 stations coast to coast on the Mutual Network. That will be exactly $1,500 for that plug. Radio comes awfully high, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
How long have you been in the hot cross bun business?
Over 2 years.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Do you belong to any clubs or organizations down there?
Do I have to say? Yes.
No, you don't have to.
I belong to a very wonderful organization, I'm very proud to say.
What's that?
The Eastern Star.
Yes. You knew about that lady from Brooklyn that belonged to Eastern Star and brought 40 friends along.
I heard you tell that this morning. I don't believe that, Jack. I couldn't believe that.
You mean you probably think it was 60.
Could be.
Well, what, are you an officer in the Eastern Star?
I'm associate matron. We'll be worthy matron next year.
You are worthy of being a matron?
I hope so.
What is a worthy matron? Is that the head?
Yes. Uh-huh. I hope my chapter thinks I'm worthy.
Well, I imagine that. Yes. Do you have any charities, the Eastern Star? What do they do?
Oh, we have an Eastern Star home. You have a very lovely one here in Los Angeles.
Fine.
The Eastern Star take care of that.
Grand.
And we do lots of things.
I'm sure they do. I've heard a lot about it. Now then, tell us. Mrs. Ruby Robertson, is Mr. Earl up here? Is he down running the bakery?
He's down running the bakery, I hope.
Yeah, we're all out of work, huh? Well, what would he say?
If I don't get home tonight, Jack, I have all of my people working for me that I have to make their payroll out.
Oh, you handle the money in your
family.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. That's
poor
right.
Earl. Do you give him a little allowance once in a while?
Well, once in a while. He's been a good boy.
Oh, fine. Mm-hmm. And you're the judge of that, too.
Yes, definitely.
Poor old Earl. Listen, what would happen now if you were elected queen for a day for 24 hours?
I would leave three friends stranded here in Los Angeles. I have the car with the keys in my purse.
Oh, the poor thing.
Yes. There's a Biltmore, though.
Oh, all right. The rich people, are they sitting in the lobby or do they have room?
No, we have rooms, fortunately.
You have connections in that bakery business. Now, what would you like to do, Mrs. Ruby Robertson of the bakery business, Nebraska and Elka Cajon?
Yes,
what would you like to do if you're elected queen for a day?
Well, we thought of a lot of worthy things we would like to do, but you say that we do those every day anyway.
That's right.
So I thought of a very silly thing.
Well, fine.
I'm not an actress or a movie star.
No.
But if I was elected...
Uh-huh.
Queen for a day, I would like to put my footprint in a hunk of cement at Grauman Chinese Theater.
Well, about that, wait just a minute. What we'll do is we'll bury her up to her hips in cement and let her ride a plug for the bakery out there at Grauman. What do you think of that? Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Thank you very much. It's well. What's your life? I want you ladies to forget that right after the broadcast, the lucky lady chosen queen will be hostess to the rest of you candidates at Tom Brenneman's restaurant. Tom will pin on the queen one of his famous orchids and has corsages for all the other candidates. That's right after the show. Thank you. Now, who's number two?
Candidate number two is Mrs. Dorothy Graw.
All right. How are you, Mrs. Graw?
Very well, thank you, Mr. Bailey.
Mr. who?
Mr. Bailey.
Bailey?
Mr. Bailey.
Bailey, that's right. Old Iowa Bailey. Listen, where are you from, Mrs. Graw?
I'm from Townsville, Australia.
Wonderful. From Townsville.
That's
right. Good for you. Some of the townsfolk from Townsville are here today, it sounds like.
Well, I think a lot of their boys have been over there, and I think that they like Australia like I like America.
Yeah, that's wonderful dialect, isn't it? Nice, jolly. You say that, where are you from again?
From Townsville, Australia.
Australia.
Oh, Mr. Bell, you're exaggerating.
I'm not either. Blimey. I used to be an actor. How is my English dialect, do you think? Do they really say pip, pip, cheerio, and jolly, and whatever else they say?
Oh, not all the time. We just like you say honey and cute, and that's we think they're funny, too.
What, honey and cute?
Yes.
Well, you are. Oh, yes.
You're cute, and all
what
that
do you
all the
call
time?
Somebody that's cute?
They say they're very nice, or very sweet person.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, and I think you're grand, too.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, here's your... Are you a married woman, Mrs. Graw?
Yes, I married an American serviceman.
You
Beth
did?
Brisbane, I did.
Did you meet him over in Australia?
Yes, I met him over there. He came in December of 1942.
Yeah.
He's on his way to the Philippines.
Yes.
And he came to Australia, and then I went to work for the American Army.
Ooh,
my people are on the land, and I came down from Townsville to take a job as a confidential secretary, and I left my husband there, but I had an Australian boyfriend at the time.
Uh-oh, what happened to him?
Oh, he had a little bit of trouble, but after 2 years, I finally made the decision that, you know, it was hard to leave home, that I wanted him, so I had to come to America.
I see. Wonderful. Where is Mr. Graw's home?
In Chicago.
And have you been there yet?
Yes, uh-huh. He has a lovely family, and...
And you like your mother-in-law and your father-in-law?
No, I have no father-in-law. My father-in-law is dead.
I see. Does Mr. Graw have any brothers?
Yes, he has one brother.
How does he look?
Oh, well, he's married and he has a little child.
A little late, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Yeah. Oh, well, he's not as nice as my husband.
He's not as nice as your husband, huh?
Oh, no.
You're really glad. What is Mr. Graw going to do when he gets out of the Army?
He's in the insurance business.
Oh. It shouldn't happen. Well, good luck to you, Mrs. Graw. Now, tell us, our dear friend from Australia... Mrs. Graw, tell Mr. Bailey what you'd like to do in your queen for a day, pip, pip, cheerio, and by Joe.
Well,
you don't have an extra monocle on you, do you? I may get in character here.
Oh, now, Mr. Bailey, you've tried throwing off at me, I think.
What did she call me? What? How do you answer that in Iowa? I don't know. I shan't throw off at you again, old fellow.
I think you're American. That's what I think about you.
American. American, I better not answer. We're on the air now. Look out what you call me here.
It's quite nice, but it just means full of devilment.
Oh!
And if you knew, I went through to get here to see you today, and then I wanted my little friend to come down here.
Yes.
I brought her in from Long Beach, and we got hung up out there in the traffic, and I got the bumper bar of my car stuck on the bumper bar of somebody else's, and we found two or three Australian boys, and we had to, they took us off, you know, and then we finally got here.
We're having a jolly time. Well, tell me, old Macintosh, what would you like to do if you're elected queen for a day?
Now, Now, McCormick is my maiden name, so...
McCormick.
It's Irish, not Scotch. It's Irish.
It's Scotch and Irish.
It's Irish.
A little Australian mixed in.
Yes, uh-huh. A little French. Mother was born in France.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, uh-huh.
As I said 27 minutes ago, what would you like to do if you were elected queen for the day?
Well, I think I have one of the grandest mothers in the world, and I would like to have a box of red roses telegraphed to her in Australia. That's just one thing. And then the two first bosses I worked with, my bosses, were killed in Australia. And if possible, I'd like you to help me to contact their people. The first boss was Colonel Floyd Pell from Ogden City, Utah.
Yes.
And the other one was Captain Barney Bardeen from Rochester, New York. And I had spoken to both of these men, Captain Barney Bardeen within an hour of his death, and Colonel Pell. This is just 3 days away.
Yeah.
So I'd like to contact your people if possible.
Well, we shall certainly do all we can. That's a very grand wish. And thank you so much. A lot of good luck to Mrs. Groff from Australia. A wonderful lady. I'd like to say now the department that makes the wheels go round wants me to be sure and tell you that the Queen today will be an honored guest of Mr. Earl Carroll for dinner at his famous theater restaurant and see his spectacular show, Sketchbook. And now is the time for our jest for today. Our listeners send in their favorites, and we select two jests and two jesters from the audience to tell them. Will you tell us about it, Mark?
Our first jest comes from Mrs. K. Rodriguez of Turlock, California. Our second jest comes from D.C. Jagger of Los Angeles, California.
All right, Jack.
I better explain what happened. I just turned around and walked into one of the jesters. I do apologize. Will you tell me your name, please?
Mistress Helen Nielsen.
Mistress?
Yes.
Why, are you married?
I am.
You're married to Mr. Nielsen?
Nielsen.
Nielsen, I see. And who are you, ma'am?
Miss Virginia Lowe.
Lowe?
Lowe.
Lowe. Where are you from, Mrs. Lowe?
From Pasadena.
Really?
Yes.
That's okay. You don't show it. You're all right. Now then, do you have your jest today, Mrs. Virginia Lowe?
It's Miss.
Miss, as I say. Miss Lowe, do you have your...
Yes, I have.
What is it, please? Tell us.
Well, Junior and his mother...
Okay, I'll shut my eyes and my big mouth. Now, here we go.
Junior and his mother were looking through the old family album.
Yeah?
And his mother said, look, Junior, here's your Aunt Susie and here's your Uncle Bert. And look, there's old Grandpa. So the little boy was looking through, and pretty soon he came to a picture of a very handsome young man with a mustache and nice curly hair.
Oh, that curly hair ruined the whole thing. Yeah?
And he says, hey, Mom, who's this? Why, don't you know, Junior, that's your father. Why, then, who's that old bald-head guy that's been living with us all these years?
How about that? Thank you, Miss Lowe, very much. Yes. Now, here's our friend, Mr. Nielsen. You tell us your jest, please.
There was a visitor to a wharf plant.
Yes.
And he says, look at that youngster over there.
Here we go.
With the cropped hair and the trousers. It's hard to tell whether there's a boy or a girl nowadays. And the war worker says, it's a girl, and she's my daughter.
We're stuck.
I wouldn't have been so personal if I'd known you were her father. I'm not her father. I'm her mother.
Nielsen, you are winning jester for today. Thank you so very much.
Okay, to both the sender, the winning jest, and the jester, we send a regal-sized bottle of Queen for a Day perfume from the House of Blue Bay.
We have candidate number 123 coming up here. If you'll come up, please, Mark, who is our next candidate? We're passing notes. Let's find out this whole thing. What's going on here? You're an Australian, and you want to meet her? All right, sit right down on the floor, right there for the whole show, and we'll send her right down on the floor, dear, where you're comfortable. That's the girl. Make yourself a little. Take your shoes off. We're going to have you get together right away. Who is number three, Mark?
Number three, Jack, is Mrs. Dorothy Pine of Ohio.
What part of Ohio, Mrs. Pine?
I was born in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, and how much of your life did you spend back there?
Well, I spent about 23 years of my life back there.
Did you go to school there?
Yes, I did.
Where?
Well, I went to West High School.
How are you going to pull those gloves apart? Let's put them right up here where you don't have to pull them.
I graduated from West High School.
Yes.
And I
you
came
go to
out
college?
Here. No, I didn't.
Uh-huh. Where'd you meet Mr. Pine?
I went to office training school, took a business course.
I see. Did
so
you
I
work?
I came out here to work. Yes.
Where?
Well, I worked for Columbia Steel for a while, and then I worked for Consolidated Steel Corporation.
Yeah.
And then...
You dance?
Where did I meet him, did you say?
You like to dance?
Well, yes, I like to rumba a little.
Let's rumba a little bit. Let's see you rumba. One, two, three, boop. One, that's enough of that right now.
Where did you say you met Mr. Pine?
Well,
at a Roomba?
I was working, and I used to eat my breakfast at the Entree Cafeteria.
Yes, that's right next door here.
And I saw this good-looking man come in with his mother and father for breakfast every morning.
Uh-huh.
And I kept looking at him for about 4 months. And...
the father?
No, at the son.
The son.
And he didn't do anything about it, so I decided it was about time for me to do something, so I went up to the cashier and I said, who is that good-looking man that comes in here every morning? And she said, oh, that's Mr. Pine and his son. And I said, oh, I said, Pine, that's a nice name.
Yes.
I'd certainly like to meet him. And she said, oh, you would? I'll tell him.
Huh?
So she told him what I said, and he came out and introduced himself the next day, and we just started to go together. We were married 3 months ago.
Really? Well, that's a romantic story.
Thank you, Mrs. Pine. Now, tell us what you'd like to do if you're elected queen for a day, Mrs. Pine.
Well, I've never cooked very much in my life, and I'm going to have my mother-in-law from Ventura over for dinner Sunday night. And I don't have any red points. I guess I don't know how to budget my points very good, but I'm all out this month so far, and they just came in. So what I want you to do is to either find me some red points and get me some meat, or else, better still, it would be cooking a couple of chickens, because I can cook that better than anything else.
You can cook chickens.
And if I don't get any meat, I'm going to have eggs.
Yeah. Can you get eggs?
Oh, yes, I have 2 dozen and a half at home now.
You have 2 dozen and a half. You stick around. We'll scoop up some more here from the stage any minute now.
Well, then, you want us to furnish a full dinner? Furnish a full dinner? Well, I've cut out those trade jokes. We're going to have a full dinner for you and your mother-in-law and the whole sheboodle if you're elected queen for a day, but you want it on Sunday.
Will you have somebody cook it, too?
If this lady is elected queen for a day, we shall certainly furnish a chef, period, for her.
Thank you very much, Miss Dorothy Pine. There she is, washing some meat for her mother-in-law.
Well, I've just been asked to remind all you candidates to remember that in your mad whirl, we have on the must list the Trocadero to see the wonderful new ice show. And by the way, if I may open my big flapping mouth for a moment and say something right, one of the most deserving and favorite Hollywood charities, Mom Ann Lair's Hollywood Guild Canteen, is giving a special show Sunday. That's this Sunday with the famous ice stars, Belita, Meehan Taylor, I'm dead on this one, Maribel Vincent, and many, many others. That's really going to be a grand show. You know the work that Mom Lair is doing out there. That's at the Trocadero this Sunday night. And I'm certainly not going to miss it, and I want to find out how you pronounce that name when I get out there. All right, let's see who we have to meet next. Oh, we're going out of town for a while, aren't we? Yes. Now then, if... Ladies and gentlemen, will you set your clocks back 20 minutes? We're going to start the whole show over again. I haven't done anything right this morning. Let's get... Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Queen for a Day. Here we go, the whole show. The whole show. Would you like to be queen for a day?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your ox-headed host now, and I'm going to read a little thing about our abdicating queen. I was just about to get an out-of-town queen, and we have one here that was yesterday's queen. Queen Hilda is back. Now then, Queen Hilda, let's welcome her back to Queen for a Day. Queen Hilda, you seeing me a man that's mixed up as you should be, how you feel?
Well, you're going to mix me up, too.
Did you have a good time, Queen Hilda?
I had a grand time. Yes? I think I enjoyed the most was going out to Warner Brothers.
Who'd you see?
Studio lot.
Yeah?
And we visited the set where Errol Flynn and Eleanor Parker were making a picture. It was really grand watching it.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, Eleanor Parker just finished the Pride of the Marines, too. And there's a grand team. They're making a wonderful picture out there. Did you talk to Errol?
Yes, I did.
Huh?
Yes.
Everything all right?
Yes, we talked to Elfie.
He's a grand guy, isn't he?
Oh, he's grand. Yes.
Listen, what are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm going home.
Well, if there's anyone left after the broadcast, I'd just like to say that tonight is the world premiere of Pride of the Marines in Philadelphia, and I was going to go to Philadelphia with you, but we can't do it, Queen Hilda. Eleanor Parker co-starred in that with John Garfield, and she's really very excited about it. So you folks down there in Philadelphia, I'll probably be over there looking for a job as a gardener if I keep this up, but you try to get down to the world premiere of Pride of the Marines in Philadelphia. Queen Hilda, thank you so much for coming back. You look grand, and I hope you'll never forget your 24 hours.
And thank you. I never will forget.
And I'll never forget this half hour. Good night, and good luck to you. Thank you very much, Queen Hilda. Who do we have to meet next?
Number 4, Jack.
Mrs. Jane Beck, Mr. Prescott.
No, boy, it's all yours.
Mrs. Jane Beck, how are you, Mrs. Beck?
I'm fine, thank you. Let me hold on.
Yeah, let me hold on to you. Let me hold. Let's both sit down here. You sit right down here, and I'll hold you on my lap, Mrs. Beck, because here. No, I won't be sorry. You sit right down. Sit right down, Mrs. Beck. Rolo. Rolo. You sit down, Mrs. Beck, and I'll sit on you. Yeah, I'll sit on you, Mrs. Beck. I didn't get enough breakfast to hold you. Tell us all about yourself now. What do you, where do you hail from?
I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. I've been out here about 4 years.
Is that so?
Yes.
What are you doing out here?
Well, I live out here. I have a lovely home. And I have three beautiful little girls.
Uh-huh. Oh,
And a hubby overseas.
Is that so?
Yes.
How much your hubby weigh?
Oh, about 175, 180.
He'll be back. I better get up off of here. Yeah, I'm going to get right back up here. I know he will be. Mrs. Beck, you have three children. How old are they?
6 and a half, 5, and 17 months.
I see. You're still shaking?
Yeah.
So am I. Let me tell me, Mrs. Beck, what would you like to do if you're elected queen for a day?
Jack, I've listened to so many programs of yours and enjoyed them so much, but there's one thing.
Yeah.
You just love to go through women's pocketbooks, don't you?
Yeah, I find a lot of weird things, all right.
I thought it'd be kind of fun if you would display what's in your pocket.
Would you like to find out real soon?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they'd like to know, too.
Well, go right ahead. Let's see. You can go right through my pants pocket
How
right
about
now.
You emptying them. Let's see.
How about what?
You emptying your pockets out here.
Okay, we'll take this chair right up here. I'm going to fool this lady because I certainly have nothing in here. I have nothing in here to hide. Yeah, well, we'll forget that. That's, somebody put that in my pocket. That's a lipstick. It's my wife's lipstick. It's my wife's lipstick, and I carry things like this along so that if I get in trouble with queen candidates. I have a little gun here. Just so happens. You never know what on earth is that? Well, anyway, I have nothing else but a little Robinson reminder here, and also a cork. I'm going fishing over the weekend. I'm just carrying that cork with me. And a Robinson reminder to make my notes and so that I'll know what to do, you see? That's a man's telephone number, there, isn't it?
Hello, Pete.
So go ahead. What does it say?
Can't see. Austin Sherman.
Yeah.
Shall I get a phone number?
Can if you want
him. Hempstead 2151.
Yeah, call him for insurance. He's an insurance man. Well, Mrs. Jane Beck, I'll tell you what we'll do. If you're elected queen for the day, we're going to drag you around this town, and you're going to have a wonderful time. Give me that lipstick back.
I'll ask you one favor.
Sure.
I've got an awful swell mother and dad back in Omaha.
Yeah.
And my, husband's folks, I can't think.
That's right.
Back there, and I've been sick quite a bit since he went overseas.
Yeah.
And I wondered if it would by any chance be sending them an orchid, one of Tom Brenneman's special ones, to thank them for all they've done for me.
Well, if you're elected queen for a day, you most certainly can send them a whole bunch of orchids. You bet your life. There goes Mrs. John Beck. Thank you very much, and I want to tell you something. If you folks would like to attend the broadcast and maybe become queen for a day, all you have to do is drop a card to Queen for a Day, Mutual Broadcasting System, Hollywood 2838, California. All right, friends. You know, we certainly have had a lot of fun at Cyril's lately, and we have bumped into Greer Garson, John Payne, Sylvia Sidney, Van Johnson, Xavier Cugat, Carmen Miranda, and many, many other stars. So here we go now with our next candidate. Who are you and where are you from?
Mrs. Lockhart from Flat River, Missouri.
From where?
Flat River, Missouri.
Flat River, Missouri, huh?
That's right.
Well, slap my chicken beans. What do you do down there in Missouri?
Oh, most anything. A lot of work.
What kind of work did you do down in Missouri?
I worked for the Greyhound.
The Greyhound bus?
That's right.
Did you come out on a bus?
No, sir.
Oh, you know better. You've been selling those tickets, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, Mrs. Curry, where is Mr. Curry?
He's overseas.
Is that so? What branch of the service is he in?
Air Corps.
How long have you been married?
3 years.
3 years?
That's right.
Did you marry him before he was in the Air Corps?
No, sir.
After he was in the
That's
Air Corps?
Right.
My soul, he's had a lot of experience.
He sure has.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, so have you.
Oh, sure.
Oh! Yeah, when did you hear from Mr. Curry last?
Yesterday.
Everything is okey-doke with him?
Oh, yeah.
What's his rank?
Sergeant.
Sergeant Curry. Right. Well, that's fine. Tell us what you'd like to do, Mrs. Curry, if you're elected queen for a day.
I'd like to ride down Hollywood Boulevard in an old-fashioned buggy like I do back home, you know.
Can you drive a team?
Oh, yeah.
If you do, we're going to get 6 horses put on the front of a buggy and let's see you drive it.
An
old mule skinner.
That'll be fine.
Mrs. Laura Curry, whose husband is overseas, thank you very much. Thank you very much for being with us. And right now, dear friends, it's time for the Grand Council. And I'd like to say this, that we have only 5 candidates today. The 6th will be number 1 candidate on next Monday. Absolutely, I'm sorry, our time is up. So right now, we'll have to vote on the 5 candidates. But you, dear, come back next Monday because Mrs. Ruth Wolf will be candidate number 1. Now comes the time on our program when the Grand Council, those representatives of the theater audience, vote one of these lovely ladies queen for a day. However, after this vote, we will request the approval of the theater audience. Briefly, here are our 5 candidates of today. Mrs. Laura Curry, who wants to ride a buggy drawn by a donkey or six horses down the boulevard. Number four, Mrs. Jane Beck, who has just emptied my pockets, wants to send an orchid to her parents-in-law. Number three, Mrs. Dorothy Pine, wants somebody to furnish the dinner and cook it for her mother and father-in-law on Sunday. Number two is Mrs. Dorothy Graw, married American serviceman. She is our friend from Australia. And number one, Mrs. Ruby Robertson, who owns a bakery and wants to put footprints in the cement. All right. Our grand counsel, if you'll rise, please, give me your name and I'll collect your ballot. You, please?
This is Fred McGoola. San Diego, California.
Magula. All right. Here, yes, I have your ballot. You?
Mrs. Sydney Chaps from Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Chaps. And you?
This is Ruth Gilbert from Burbank.
From Burbank, I have your ballot. And you, please?
This is Anton Dietrich from Los Angeles.
Thank you very much. And you, please?
Mrs. Wilbur Chaps from Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thank you, ladies. You may be seated. And we will now count the ballots for our five candidates of today. Here's a ballot for number one, a ballot for number one, a ballot for number three, a ballot for number two, number two. Number two and number one candidates are tied at this moment. Will number one and number two please come up here? Number one is Mrs. Ruby Robertson, who owns the bakery in Elka John, and number two is Mrs. Dorothy Graw. Why, your applause? Number two is our queen for today. Will you come over here? This is Mrs. Dorothy Graw, who married an American serviceman, wants to send roses to her mother in Australia. Here she is. Queen Dorothy is taking her hat off now so we can get the crown on. Put it on over her hat. Time is... There she is. She has dropped her robe. Anyway, she's a lovely, lovely queen from Australia. And Queen Dorothy, we salute you today. There she is, our queen for today. Thank you very much. And here's something you will treasure forever, a solid silver scepter from International Silver Company. Your name will be duly inscribed on it, something for you to keep. Here are 3 dozen gorgeous roses for you. They've been rushed to you from the Biltmore Forest. They are for you, Your Majesty.
Oh, they're beautiful, thank you. Oh,
that's all right. They're for you. Now may we present this exquisite brooch by Corot. Corot, a masterpiece in fashion jewelry. There it is. That's for you, Your Majesty. Isn't that lovely? And I'd like to say one more thing. The Grand Council will also receive brooches. And now, to start you off right, we want you to have a complete outfit from head to toe. A smart Draper hat, a beautiful Cobrance handbag, gloves to match, and a box of Gotham gold-striped stockings. And, Your Majesty, if you'll seat yourself now on the throne, won't you come right over here?
We take it to New York.
All right.
From the Mutual Newsroom in New York, here is a bulletin from Washington. Still and newsreel cameramen were given permission today to photograph President Truman and his cabinet in session. This is most unusual. Significance was seen in this development, as obviously the chief executive had discussed the Japanese peace offer with the cabinet. It is likely that it was the desire of Mr. Truman to record films of a possible historic cabinet session. From Bern. The Japanese minister in Bern today presented at the Federal Palace the English text of a note from his government in Tokyo offering to capitulate to the Allies. The Japanese diplomat requested that the Federal Council transmit the note to the governments of the United States and China. Similar notes were being transmitted to the Soviet and British governments through the Swedish government. To go back to Washington for a moment, President Truman called his cabinet into session at 2 p.m., Earlier, the White House said the Japanese offer had not been received officially and that the war was continuing. Britain announced officially that she was in communication with her allies, presumably over whether to accept the condition that Emperor Hirohito must remain in the saddle. Celebrations of victory already were underway in Chungking and London and on Okinawa, where American troops at heavy cost fought to the very doorstep of Japan. The Red Army, meantime, continued its advances in Manchuria. This news has come to you from the Mutual Newsroom in New York. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
A transcription.
Oh, dad and mother, sis and brother, La Poste, Raisin Bran. What a double delicious combination of crispy flakes and tender raisins of Poste. Raisin Bran tastes like more.
WOR New York, 3 p.m., WLOVA, Boulevard Watch Time.